Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I have with me today Jo-Jan Jonker. He's from the Netherlands, and for those of you who are familiar with the show, you'll know that he's one of my regulars, and he's going to remain one of our regulars for a few more months, because we've started a conversation that we continue to explore, and it goes into seeing Reiki as a spiritual practice. And as a spiritual practice, one of the questions that has been asked of me is, does Reiki have a cosmology? Well, for me, when I talk about cosmology, it means I refer to it myself, for myself, is it's the way that I see the world working. So what has happened to me in my my own cosmology is that, you know, as a hippie back in the 1960s, when I was in college, you know, my cosmology was kind of just be lost, look around, see what's happening, and do whatever you want to do. And I didn't think about whether it was good or bad. I thought about whether or not I would be found out, and whether or not it was against the law, and whether or not my parents would find out. I didn't think much about God, or whether things were good and evil, or whether there was creation and destruction. I just lived my life as a person who felt like I was, you know, invincible. And in this time, I ended up, of course, at the age of 30, coming into Reiki, and slowly, 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 my cosmology has become more clear. And I knew what I didn't want or what I didn't believe in, but it was much harder for me to figure out what I did believe in. And Reiki has helped me sort that out, and along with a lot of conversations with other Reiki students and masters. So this is just another one of those conversations I'm going to have with Jo-Jan, who has, as you know, been a Reiki master for many years. He's also, in the last few years, has signed up for this course and is now as now in a doctorate program for spirituality, and his spiritual practice is Reiki. So that's how we kind of got involved in all these conversations, and I find them quite fascinating. I hope you will too. Jo-Jan, thank you very much for coming back and doing another interview.
Thank you, Phyllis. I like to be in your shows. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. So, when you started your study of spirituality, did you speak with your tutor or with the group about different cosmologies that were present in the group, or how did you come across the idea of cosmology?
Well, it is based on the study. That is true. When other religions and spiritual traditions it became clear that every tradition has some kind of cosmology, because so many things are based on that. Also, the concept of healing, but also in the concept of what is good or what is not good, so the ethical dimension, so to speak. And that brought me back to Reiki from, okay, yes, we have our Reiki precepts, and in a way that presents our ethical dimension. So there must be some of morals and morality behind it. And so that made me curious from, okay, upon which ideas might these precepts have been founded by Usui? Well, what was his idea? What was his... How did he think about the cosmology, and how did he think about ethics and why did he formulate the precept in this way? And why these precepts and why not other things?
Right.
So that's one entrance into Reiki. And the other entrance for me is, in Reiki we use a universal energy, as it is translated mostly in English. But who says that it is always a good energy, or that the benefit of using this energy is always positive? And personally, I experience it always as positive. But that doesn't mean that it has always been to be positive for everybody all over the world. So these are questions.
They're great questions. Well, I think I have to start back, and a lot of this, of course, is based on my assumptions, in the sense of I've never spoken to Mikao Usui directly, so I don't know really what he was thinking. But, you know, Shinobu Saito, this wonderful elderly Japanese woman who is a Reiki master from my grandmother, always used to say to me, you must consider the culture in which Dr. Usui came into being, and where he grew up, and how it shaped his character. And I've always been able to see the echoes of that in our Reiki practice. So, you know, if we talk about a cosmology, I think that we need to look at the basic cosmology of Japan during the time of Mikao Usui. And it's based on the natural belief system coming out of ancient Japan, which is now called Shinto, and also the combination of Shinto with Buddhism that came from China in the 600s AD and to Japan, and then was combined with the Shinto belief systems, and together they form a unique combination that is now the Japanese culture. That's how I feel. And in the Japanese culture, there isn't really the predominance of good and evil, because there's the Japanese culture that I learned and also have read about has more to do with being able to prepare oneself to accept whatever happens. And to be able to accept whatever happens, not as a victim, because there are no victims, and there, but in that sense of, you know, being a victim to something evil. But there are, when you have energy come to you, then if you prepare yourself, then you can always use that energy to your benefit and to the benefit of the other person or whatever the source is of the energy. So one of the things that I feel is an example of this, even in modern day, is the response of the Japanese people to the tsunami and the earthquake that happened in Japan. Now it's been almost 2 years ago. And, you know, people were surprised at how the Japanese people accepted what happened. It was the Western media that called the tsunami evil, or, you know, made it out that the Japanese people were victims of this terrible earth disaster. But for the Japanese people, I don't feel like that's the way they held it, mostly. And it was a demonstration for me of this very basic principle of cosmology. They don't have the Christian cosmology of good and evil, the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve being ever more burdened with this sight of good and evil.
Yeah.
So I find that as a source of Reiki and as a source of the practice to be interesting. And then to see that Reiki, the energy, universal life energy, there is no duality. There's no good energy or bad energy. There's just energy. And that's what I've learned in my Reiki practice. And sometimes I don't like how the energy feels. Sometimes I don't like what happens as a result of the of what is going on with the energy, but I can accept it, and in that acceptance have the possibility of creating a benefit for myself and for those around me. So I'm just wondering how it was for you, because as you heard in the very beginning, my cosmology was fairly out there, because I, even though I was raised in a kind of Christian atmosphere, I went to a congregational church and, you know, sang in the church choir and so on. But I didn't adopt this good and evil so much as some of my friends did. So I'm wondering where you came to Reiki from.
Well, I have never been a hippie. So that makes a difference between us, I think.
You've never been a what?
Hippie.
Hippie. Oh, okay, good.
I always thought I missed something in my life.
Well, you did, but, you know, it doesn't mean that that would have been beneficial for you. Was not your path, Yo-Yan.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up in a Christian community, in a Protestant Christian community. It was in those days, it was really the idea that you were already born as a sinner, and there was nothing to do about that. And in those days, in that village, either you were a Protestant, and some people were Roman Catholic. And if you were a non-believer, well, that was really not a good thing. And that there were other religions. I only became aware of that when I went to a larger city for my study. And then I was around 20 years old. And but I must also say that as a child already, I had a deep feeling from it doesn't make sense. How can I be a sinner? I've never done anything wrong. So,
good question.
Yeah, well, it was maybe a naive, childish question, but I really sensed it in my body from that. This is not the way. It's not good. It wasn't good for me. And then I met other ideas and Buddhism was in those days also coming up and becoming a little bit popular. And then I noticed there are different ways to think about cosmology. And I think that I have never completely embraced one cosmology of one particular spirituality or religion, but I in some way blended some things and made up my own cosmology, what suited me the best. And that is more based on personal experiences than on theory, I must admit. And some time ago, there was somebody who asked me, when did that process then start in your life? And it's a bit of a personal story, but when I was 3 years old, it was on my third birthday, I drove with my little bicycle in the water, and I almost drowned. And underwater, I heard a voice asking me, "Do you really want this life?" And I said, "Yes." And the next moment, I was more or less pulling myself out of the water on the shore again. And that was, I think later on, that was in one way or another a very important experience to determine my own cosmology, because it helps me, it made me experience that there is more than just this physical world what we see, and there is indeed something else that influences our lives. But that is my personal view on this. And why am I doing this?
What an amazing, excuse me for interrupting, but what an amazing experience. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay, well, you're welcome. Yes. Yeah, it's yeah. It was an early experience, that's true. And I said yes to this life. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm still here, I think.
Yes.
It was a possibility to step out. Yeah.
Obviously. So I just want to make a note to the listeners that Yo-Yan and I are exploring this idea of good and evil and cosmology through our own experience and through our own lives. And we are not here to make a judgment or make any kind of statement about whatever you believe as listeners. You know, each one of us has our own path. And, you know, if it works for you, then that's what's important. And, you know, a lot of the things that have happened to me through the years of Reiki, for instance, because Reiki has really been essential in forming my cosmology that I have today, comes out of my own personal experiences, which I feel, to get back to what you said, Yo-Yan, is really the gift of Reiki, is that it gives us a chance to live our lives consciously so that we are conscious of the choices that we make and conscious of the underlying principles from which we make our choices. And I think that that's such an incredible gift.
Yeah, I agree. And what I also see in this gift is the possibility to re-examine one's own ideas about one's own cosmology. Mm-hmm. And for when somebody is raised in a Christian environment and raised with the idea of good and evil, or even perhaps the devil, and then he has now the chance to re-evaluate that opinion, that's mm-hmm. the view, and to see if it still is true for today,
right.
Or that it's due to the experience with Reiki, may have shifted.
Right. Well, you know what's interesting is that in my Reiki practice, I've of course come across a lot of interrelated to a lot of other cosmologies. For instance, a lot of people in what I call the New Age spirituality talk about karma. And karma is a really interesting concept that comes from the Hindu cosmology. And
yes.
It is based a little bit on the same approach where there is the destroyer and there is the creator, but the destroyer is not seen as evil and the creator is not necessarily seen as good. It's a cycle that happens. And that our goal is not to be perfect, good, and holy, but our goal in this cosmology is to complete our cycle as a living human being.
Yes.
And I find that to be very interesting, and in some way, you can make it into a kind of good and evil thing. Like, okay, so I'm going to be good today, so I don't create bad karma. But that's a trivialization of the actual very deep or profound understanding that is carried through this particular cosmology.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, in any way, that's my feeling. And neither you or I think, can speak for that cosmology. I just wanted to make this comment in relationship to questions that people might have out in the in our listening audience.
Yeah. Well, maybe I can. I'd like to add something about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, please do.
I think that every listener has made up his own cosmology, as we already mentioned, because we all blend all kinds of ideas of traditions to something that fits us.
Yeah,
I think it's a pitfall to make one's own truth as a truth for the rest of the world.
Right, right.
To generalize it. Because then I think we'll become fundamentalists, and then all kind of shit happens.
Right. Well, it's called attachment.
Oh, called attachment.
Yeah.
Well, my English is not that good.
Well, you know, attachment has its own place, but attachment and being fixated, you know, on a certain cosmology without having any room for change and for alteration and for the natural shift of our own belief systems ends up to be very rigid. And I think that this is something that Reiki teaches us, that if we are rigid, then Reiki really brings us to places in our lives that we are almost forced to be flexible. And that's a great lesson, actually, I think.
So do you think that that in a way that relates to the question we had last time, I think, or one of the other discussions, from where does Reiki bring us?
Right.
If you think that Reiki helps us to be not rigid, I will not say flexible, but not rigid, you know, that may also then be a part of the destination where Reiki brings us, or the direction that Reiki brings us. Destination, sorry.
Yes, I agree. I agree. So some people feel that I've spoken to, when I talk about Reiki being a spiritual practice for myself, they ask me, well, what's the cosmology? And, you know, I in the last year or so, I think I've gotten to be more articulate about this, but it's just forming now, and I think that that's the place where we are in the development of the practice, is
yeah.
to formulate a kind of cosmology that will allow people in Reiki, we are forming our understanding of our cosmology, because now there are all these millions of people who practice Reiki. And if we can take the common experiences of all of us as human beings that supersede our cultural and socialization experiences and belief systems, and they are broken down by the experiences that we have in our Reiki practice, and we all come to a same understanding of the world, i.e. our cosmology, then we can articulate that as a place that we will come to possibly in our practice. And so when future students come to us and say, you know, what can I expect to get out of Reiki? You know, our old way of responding to this question would be, if you don't want to change your life, don't take Reiki.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice one.
Yes. But it's kind of a funny one. You know, it's like there's a lot of subtle pressure and, you know, judgment and stuff. And I would rather come up with something that said, well, you know, Reiki is universal life energy. So what we learn is that everything is simply energy, and that it is our human It is our humanness that has to categorize our experiences of having experiences of energy. So we meet someone and we instantly take a dislike to them. And there's lots of reasons why, but we just have this feeling of dislike. So we say that's a negative person, or that person is a bad person. But if we can just say, oh, I don't really like his energy, then it claims that experience for me, if I say it, and it doesn't put that person in a category that is fixed. I've just had this experience. I say that I didn't like it, and that person can continue to be themselves.
Okay, yeah.
Now, somebody else might meet the same person and really like their energy and say, yeah, wow, I really liked him. Didn't you really connect with him? And I'm going, well, no. And yeah, that's the really wonderful thing about Reiki, is that it allows us to have these experiences for ourselves, and they don't have to be the same as everyone else's.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, what I've experienced in when I used to meet people that I dislike on first sight, what Reiki taught me is that I asked myself, what is triggered within me that I do not like that person on first sight? So I turned it around and I started to view the other person as some kind of a mirror. But okay, he is showing something, not showing something of myself, of my inner self. And what I then tried to do is to give myself Reiki on that, and to see what comes up. And if it is something of my own personality, then it is something I can try to heal. So Reiki helps me in a way to become a person. It happens less and less that I meet a person and that I dislike on first sight.
Uh-huh.
That is what, for me, that's a way of healing.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah. So that's not another use, but another, is it another experience, or do you recognize what I say?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I have less and less instant response to people.
Yeah.
Or situations.
Yes, precisely.
Yeah. So another example is that my students are quite surprised, because they often, talk to me about their experiences, and they often are things that are very painful, or their life is changing and turning upside down, and they don't know whether they like it or not. And I go, that is really great. That's my first statement. And they look at me like I'm crazy. And and of course, that is my first response, and it is my only response. And it comes from this place of saying to them, in short, your life is moving, things are changing, they are coming more into alignment. Isn't that wonderful? But
yeah,
instead of saying all that, I just say, that's really great. And I smile. And they just go, interesting. And that is the lesson that they always, they always have to learn about. Because, for them, they think that I'm going to say, oh, you poor thing, I'm so sorry this is happening, I wish it was less painful, is there something that I can do for you? And that is not my response.
Nourishing and pampering.
Well, I mean, let's not dis nourishing and pampering, but let's just say that there's another way to look at change,
yeah,
other than commiseration, which means, which commiseration is an English word that means to go to the person's same emotional response.
Yeah.
And I go to the opposite, usually.
Yeah.
And, you know, this, in doing this, I don't do it intentionally. I do this because it's my natural response now. But in doing that, it allows the person to really see the energy as just energy. Not because it's good or bad, but just that it's energy of movement, and that movement is changing their lives. And that shift is something that is inherent in our Reiki practice.
Yeah, and I also think that the way you respond to your students is also based on the cosmology that you sketched a few minutes ago about that there is no good and evil, but just things happen.
Uh-huh.
And then you can then it is possible to address your students in another way. And the other possibility that you gave, and how bad for you, and can I do something for you? Then you, if teachers do that, they implicitly say that it's a bad thing that happens.
Right.
And that's something that you don't say to your students.
No, because I believe that whatever happens is really just whatever happens. And
yeah.
So it's for us to be able to prepare ourselves to respond to it in the moment, not from fear and not from lack and not from attachment, but from, well, where am I going now?
Yeah.
What do I need to decide now? What is it that is being asked of me in this moment?
So this is a point where the cosmology you have feeds the lessons you teach your students.
Right. Right. But I do feel like it's the cosmology that has been built through my practice of Reiki.
Yeah.
So here's a question that is interesting, because when you and I first got into Reiki, we weren't taught a cosmology. We were taught hand positions and so on. And you alluded to that in an earlier conversation. And I don't know. I mean, this is a huge and interesting question. Should we, you know, as a practice, put out our cosmology so that when people come into Reiki, they are more prepared for what they will receive? Or is the magic of discovery still a vital priority for each student?
Now, that is an interesting question indeed. Yeah.
And up until this point, I've always felt like if Reiki masters could just simply teach a very basic, simple practice and allow the student to do the practice and to come across situations where they might say, well, I'm never doing that again, or, gosh, I hope that happens again, that, you know, in their sifting this out, they really get the same quality of understanding that I have received through my practice of Reiki. And I feel like that this is something that, as masters, is a part of the gift that we give our students, is this magic of discovery. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
But perhaps it might be time to consider that having some kind of general cosmology out there in public doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to take that magic away from personal discovery of each student. And this is, I think, the hidden assumption in my question.
Well, it's absolutely interesting. And I try to think back to I try to bring myself back to 1994 when I met Reiki, or Reiki met me. Would I have liked it if there was some kind of cosmology also at that point? I don't know. Yeah, it may help. It may have distracted me, but it is also possible that would have attracted me because it could also resonate something that I already assumed or sensed or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's also possible that it made me more enthusiastic about Reiki from the first day on.
Right.
So it may help speed up my development in Reiki.
Uh-huh.
That's the other side.
Yes, because I realize when I was thinking about this show that all these years that I've gone around, and Paul and I have gone around separately and together in different events, what we've been doing is we've been actually talking about the cosmology of Reiki. We, you know, people give us, you know, ask us questions like, well, you know, my life changed so much. I left my family. I had to change my job because I just couldn't stand to go to work anymore. Is this really a good thing? And so it allowed Paul and I to put that into a context, is what I called it. But it really is about the communication of this cosmology on an individual level, in an individual situation-to-situation basis. And what I realize now, just in this moment that we're speaking, is that I feel there's another way for me to express this rather than going around from place to place and only seeing a finite amount of people and being able to allow people to apply this kind of cosmology to their own practice. But maybe this is the beginning of a kind of communication, verbally, if that's possible, that will support the Reiki community in coming to exploring the forming of cosmology for a Reiki practice. And
yeah.
I think it doesn't really matter what form of practice you're practicing. It seems to me, in my observation of students, that we all get the same thing eventually.
Yeah, because the energy is the same.
Yeah.
And because for the most Reiki system, the presets are also the same.
Uh-huh.
Those are two basic elements to create ideas and
right.
to have it, and that combined with experience. So I think indeed that there I think it's very interesting to find out this common experience about cosmology.
Uh-huh.
But I also must admit that a few years ago I tried to find out something some common elements in our experiences during a gathering of Dutch Reiki masters.
Uh-huh.
And a colleague of ours, Arianne, you know Arianne from Dick and Arianne. Arianne and myself had made up a list of some questions. Oh, I remember that I sent you the English translation of it.
Uh-huh.
And it looks as if all hell broke loose when we asked those questions because there was even things from which I thought, well, this is so obvious that everybody will agree on it. There was not one question that all people agreed on.
Really?
So it was difficult, and not everybody was happy with that attempt.
So
it may have been the timing or the way we did it or whatever, but it can also be that people may have been pushed out of their comfort zone by asking these questions.
Uh-huh.
made them they feel, a lot of people feel comfortable by what they experience, and so something like, well, please let me experience and no questions asked, something like that. And I like to ask questions. Yeah, that's who I am.
Yeah, well, you know, I just found this email that you sent me about the results.
Oh, okay.
And this, so I'd like to just read some of the questions, because I think it would be good for the listeners not to run wild with their imagination. And let me just get this clear. So number one says Reiki is universal energy, is a universal energy. The question is, but is it the same universal energy as used by other hands-on healing systems? So that was the question.
Interesting question.
And that was interesting. And then the next question was, all healing methods, including all systems of Reiki, use the same universal energy. It's sort of like these scales of do not agree, slightly agree, agree strongly, disagree strongly, etc. So,
or leave the room.
Huh?
Or leave the room.
Or leave the room. Well, I don't know. Leave the room is fairly radical. Okay. I'd like to go through some others. This is interesting. The initiations in Reiki and the use of the symbols provide an entrance of their own kind to universal life energy and are regarded as specific for Reiki.
Yeah,
and even if you give Reiki, you notice all kinds of feelings in your hands that you do not feel when you're doing other things like meditation, agree or disagree. You are aware of feelings in your body that you do not feel in the same way as you do when you do other things like meditate. Another one is, Reiki gives you peace of mind, and you have this as disqualified as a question. Did you and Ariana decide not to ask this, or you, the group, decided not to answer it?
The first option, I think, as I recall correctly, but I have to see it again. I think it was a question that looked like one of the other questions, or it wasn't formulated properly. And the group could not give an answer, so the question itself raised questions out of the group.
That's
why I decided to skip it. Then it wasn't
that's
a good
interesting.
Yeah. Oh my God! It was very. It was very interesting. Absolutely.
Yeah. So some others are, Reiki is energy, wisdom, insight, and love all at the same time. Another one is Reiki gives us energy, awareness, and love. And another one is Reiki achieves what is good for a person, not necessarily what the person wants himself.
Oh, that's where we talked about a few minutes
exactly,
ago.
Exactly,
exactly. What was the answer of the group? Can you see that there?
Yes. Most of the people agreed.
Yeah.
Reiki flows best when you are completely devoted during a treatment. Well, that's interesting. Reiki reveals not processed psychological and emotional items. What is that?
Reiki does not?
Reiki reveals not processed psychological and emotional, I would say, issues.
Issues, yeah.
Yeah. Or The energy or love was already there in the person, but was evoked by Reiki, so brought it out.
Yeah.
Reiki brings us closer to our true self. Oh, this is an interesting one, and a kind of part of the cosmology of Reiki. Dr. Usui gave us Reiki as a path to enlightenment. That is the main issue. Physical healing is a nice side effect. So people were really split by that.
Yeah.
Well, that one's very interesting. So this questionnaire is interesting. Do you want me to set it? This happened. You sent this to me at the end of July in 2008. So that's a while ago.
That's a while ago. And after that, I stopped with it because it was because the answers were so different, and people reacted so differently on these questions, and all other kind of questions came, and people were sometimes even angry. Even how can you ask that? When people gave on some answers yes and other gave no, all discussions started. How can you say no and that is not Reiki if you do not say yes, and things like that. So it was I found it personally very interesting, but
very, very interesting. But you know what? We're now 5 years later, right? 4 or 5 years later. 4 years later. And it would be really interesting to ask the same group of people the same questions.
Well, I can suggest that at a meeting from the Dutch Masters in Heerlen.
You can just say, well, we'd like to just try an experiment and see if you have the same response as you did 4 years ago.
Well,
I mean, you know, not as a way of meanness, but as an interesting thing of, did asking these questions move something inside of these students that allowed them to be more open or to have a different feeling for the questions? I mean, I think that would be very interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Later on, a few years later, I think it was in 2011, I asked one question.
Yeah, what was that?
The question was, which one of you believes that afterlife something remains? Call it soul, call it spirit, call it whatever. Uh-huh. And they all said yes. And so my question to the group was, if that is a common experience or belief, it doesn't matter. It's something we share commonly. What would happen to the practice if we bring that into the practice?
Well,
so would it would
what does
it help
that mean?
Yeah, what I mean is, would it be helpful then to determine the ultimate goal of Reiki, for instance? Or would it help us to live our lives in another way, just to prepare that a part of us will go on after this life?
Right.
Because it changes the perspective on life itself.
Right. Well, it is my experience with my students that actually the practice of Reiki confirms for some people and opens some people to the possibility that there is a continuum of life, and that we have a physical body and we have, as we might call it, a spiritual body, and that spirit lives on. And I think that experience in giving Reiki is so strong that it's very difficult to deny it.
Yeah.
So
that may be one of those common experiences worldwide.
Well, I'm sure. I would be very surprised if it were not.
Yeah.
And that creates a kind of interesting cosmology, you know, a piece of the cosmology. So what I wanted to say, oh no, did I lose it? Is that you asked, can we bring this into our practice? And my response was kind of startled because I thought, but that is a result of the practice that brings us into the consciousness. So it is not for us as human beings to bring it into the practice. It's just for us to recognize that it is so. And I'm trying to figure out what you meant by bringing it into the practice.
As part of the cosmology for people, people that have no Reiki at this moment and may be interested in Reiki, and ask, okay, I'm interested in Reiki, so tell something about Reiki and also tell something about the cosmology of Reiki.
Right.
And at that point, it is a possibility then that we say, okay, it is our experience that there is some kind of spirit or whatever that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
As part of the cosmology of Reiki practitioners.
Well, you know, after all of my classes, I always give people homework. And we're almost to the end of our interview, and I would love to give you a piece of homework. And that is, I would really like for you to write your version of our cosmology as a Reiki practice. I think that would be really interesting to start.
So, do I have to?
Huh?
Do I have to?
No, you don't have to.
I'll try.
All right. Well, I just thought that it would be interesting because you did do these questions, which I sent you the email, by the way, to remind you when it was. And then you have this kind of interesting study group in the Netherlands, which I find really fascinating and wonderful that you all are willing to meet. And there's something about that is very important, you know, and I wish that masters in other communities would do the same thing, because I feel like there's something that's you're building that goes far beyond what you think you're doing.
Okay.
And maybe this is a place where we can begin this formulation, because it's not something that we're making up. It's just a reflection of articulating what we all have experienced, and to search for the source of the response of how dare you ask this, because my guess is that that response comes from, this is so private, how could you ask this question, and how do you expect me to answer it in public?
Yes.
And that the public is a group of other Reiki masters is really interesting. So that has to do with personal boundaries and, you know, what's public and what's private. Why would I keep this very private just for myself? And I'm not in this moment advocating people not to have personal boundaries. I really appreciate them. But it would be interesting to take a little diversion, which I think would be a very interesting diversion, and explore those people who found it to be offensive. Because I think there's something to be said about that.
Okay.
Yeah. And to honor that place in them, and maybe we're not honoring it in ourselves because we are more excited about this other discussion rather than, you know, the privacy of, you know, our own experiences in Reiki and the profundity of them.
I understood what you said. Well, it was never my intention to discuss someone's position on this,
right?
I was just curious and interested how other people think about these subjects,
right?
So that was not to convince them that they were thinking right or wrong.
No, but here's an interesting hint, Hyo-Yeon, and that is, you went into it, you just said, out of curiosity. And I will say that if if that kind of a scholarly curiosity would be my adjective. And that may not be the appropriate motivation. And that may be why you got some of the response you got. If you went in and said, look, you know, Phyllis and I have been thinking about, does Reiki have a cosmology and could we formulate it into language? And would this be helpful or not? I mean, once we formulate it, then we can decide how to apply it. But the formulation of this cosmology feels like a very important step for us. We have the nine elements and the four aspects. We see that all the forms of practice either use them or they don't use them, and there is always a response to why they don't use them. And I think that they still exist. It's like kind of if you don't have a part of your body, then that part of the body still exists in spirit, whether or not you are able to use it or want to use it physically. And I just feel like maybe this cosmology question is our next step developmentally as a system. Yeah. And I just would really think that if you presented it in that way, that you might get a more interested audience.
Yes, I think that's correct. And I must admit that what you say, that it's a step in the development of our tradition, I learned that later on in my study.
Ah, interesting.
So in a way, I asked these questions maybe too soon. I had to wait for it a year.
Right. Timing is very important also.
Yeah.
So, in the previous show, we just touched on this topic of good and evil and what does Reiki teach us about good and evil. And I really encourage the listeners, if you have the wherewithal, to write on the Facebook page or write an email to me and I will forward it to Yo-Yan. Because I think that this is something that we would really love to have more input in, too, and that it's a continuing discussion, because I feel so much that so many of the understandings about how Reiki works, what our goal is in Reiki, and maybe even is there a goal, are very important questions, and that there are millions of people doing, you know, practicing Reiki now, and maybe these questions are utmost in our mind and will give us another foundation of common practice. And I would really love to see that happen. So for you listeners out there who want to participate, please do.
Please do.
Please do. Yes. Yo-Yan, we're at the end of our hour. Can you believe it?
No.
And again, I just would love to continue this conversation. I just love delving into this. So for you listeners, be prepared. In another few weeks, Yo-Yan and I will be on this and updating you for our next installment of Reiki Cosmology. So, on that note of silence and out there-ness, Yo-Yan, it's been wonderful, again, to have this interesting discussion. I truly hope the listeners are stimulated by our discussion and will venture into our conversation. And I'm just wondering, where are you going in your mind right now and your possibilities?
Is that a question to me or to the
listener?
Yeah,
to you.
Oh, to me. Where am I going to?
Where does this conversation leave you?
To think about for myself about the cosmology at this moment for me.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm going to think about more. And it's I think it's also the a fundamental question that has to be answered before the good and evil question.
Yes.
Because if we have a cosmology, or if I have a cosmology, or let's speak for myself, then it also will become more clear if there is good and evil, or if there is not no good and evil, or things like that. So it is a basic, it's a very principal thing that we are discussing now, I think.
Uh-huh. And so a cosmology can be seen, as far as I'm concerned, as the lens through which we look at the world and everything that happens.
Yes, and, it's a worldview, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that the really interesting thing is that what we're considering is that there is a lens that could be titled Reiki.
Yes.
And I think this is very exciting.
Or is Reiki the lens?
Well, okay. I'm willing to switch the question around to that also. Or is Reiki the lens? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yes. Great. Well,
this is a reaction on what we discussed earlier from that Reiki gives us some experiences.
Uh-huh.
That helps us to give an idea of the cosmology.
Uh-huh.
So in that seeing it like that, then Reiki is the lens.
Uh-huh. I have remembered what I wanted to talk about. So there was this question that you had, one of the questions or statements that you had in your survey for the masters was, is the goal of Reiki enlightenment, and is healing a kind of a side effect? And what I would enter here as my last words is that there are two kind of viewpoints of healing. One is to fix what's broken, and the other one is to be able to see the wholeness. And I feel like what is happening in our community these days, and I use the word community very loosely, is that we're going from this mentality and this viewpoint of Reiki fixing what is broken, and we're moving into understanding that that Reiki allows us to see the wholeness in ourselves, in each other, in the universe. And whether or not that's the state of enlightenment is a topic for another show.
So, wow.
We'll get to that later.
I love it already.
Good. Great. All right, Yo-Yan, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Phyllis, for your time.
Yes, no problem. And for you listeners, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.